ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 12 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड वृत्रासुरस ग्लोरियस डेथ टेक्स्ट नंबर 13 आयु श्री कीर्तिर ऐश्वर्यम् कीर्तिरैश्वर्यम् आशिष पुरुषस्य याः भवन्ति एव हि तत्काले यतानिच्छोर्विपर्यया आयु श्री कीर्तिरैश्वर्यम् आशिष पुरुषस्य या भवन्त्येव हि तत्काले यतानिच्छोर्विपर्यया आयु श्री ट्रांसलेशन जस्ट एज अ पर्सन नॉट इंक्लाइन टू डाई मस्ट नंदलेस गिव अप हिज लॉन्गेविटी ऑपुलेंस फेम एंड एवरीथिंग एल्स एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ सो At the appointed time of victory, one can gain all this when the Supreme Lord awards them by His mercy. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is not good to be falsely puffed up, saying that by one's own effort, one has become opulent, learned, beautiful and so on. All such good fortune is achieved through the mercy of the Lord. From another point of view, no one wants to die and no one wants to be poor or ugly. Therefore, why does the living entity, against his will, receive such unwanted troubles? It is due to the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one gains or loses everything material. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent on the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Lord. There is a common saying in Bengal, that the Lord has 10 hands. This means that He has control everywhere, in the 8 directions and up and down. If He wants to take everything away from us with His 10 hands, we cannot protect anything with our 2 hands. Similarly, if He wants to bestow benedictions upon us with His 10 hands, we cannot factually receive them all with our 2 hands. In other words, the benedictions exceed our ambitions. The conclusion is that even though we do not wish to be separated from our possessions, sometimes the Lord forcibly takes them from us. And sometimes He showers such benedictions upon us that we are unable to receive them all. Therefore, either in opulence or in distress, we are not independent. Everything is dependent on the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agya. Hare Krishna. There is a common saying which many devotees always say that if you want to make Krishna laugh, then what we should do? We should tell him our plans. Because there is nothing in our control. Especially devotees' life is so arranged by Krishna in so many ways, during so many situations. And we see in today's purport also, Srila Prabhupada is wonderfully highlighting this point, how Krishna mercifully chastises or awards benedictions. And Prabhupada quotes this very famous thing which his father, Gaur Mohan Dev, would often tell Prabhupada that if Krishna has 10 hands, if he wants, and we have 2 hands, if Krishna wants to give something, how much can we receive? And if Krishna wants to take away, how much can we hold back? So, Prabhupada is revealing this very interesting aspect. As Dhritarasura is also chastising Indra after his one arm has been chopped off. If you see in this world, if you examine this whole world, however, we'll see that people are not aware of this fact that Krishna controls everything. A person who is in illusion thinks that he is the controller. Idam madhya maya labdam imam prapse manoratam idam astidam tato me bhavishyati punardhanam. Everything is mine. I have got all this by my intelligence. I am the doer. I. And now I have got so much money. Bhavishyati punardhanam. I will make my financial planning in such a way that I will get so much money. I will be rich. Aso maya hata shatrur hanishye chaparam api ishvaroham ham bhogi siddoham balavan suki. I have killed so many of my enemies. I am going to kill more. I am going to defeat all of them. Because I am Ishvara. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am happy. I am suki, balavan. I am the strongest. And thinking like this, a person starts feeling that I am very special. Adyo bijanavan asmi konyosti sadrusho maya. Is there anyone more wonderful than me? Ekshe dasame modishya iti agyana vimohita. So I will give charity. I will also help others because I am after all great. So like this, a person iti agyana vimohita is in complete ignorance and his life is filled with suffering. In the very next verse of this 16th chapter, Krishna explains what is the result of this kind of attitude, that I am the controller, I am doing everything. Aneka chitta vibranta moha jala samanvita. So two things are very, very obvious that will happen if we cultivate this mood that I am controller, I am doing everything, I am the master. First is moha jala. We will be completely bound by this net, internet or network, mohajal, the network of illusion. And what happens here is that the more we try to control with all these facilities and with all this feeling that I am the greatest, the more we try to control, the more controlled we become. We can see this in so many ways, like modern society is characterized by so many gadgets. And people, we see that men and women, they flaunt so many gadgets. And like for everything, there is like we have a remote by which we can manage the television. Or there is, you just press one button, you can summon information from any corner of the world. That much science and technology is advanced. And one devotee was saying that nowadays, technology is so advanced that you can create a big bomb blast by simply even an alarm clock, or even because a cell has so much potency, they can do so much. Man has got such a demoniac mentality that he can create destruction in such a big way. For this feeling that I am in control is now creating a situation where man is so vulnerable to attacks, to death. So the more we are thinking I am in control, we are controlled. And we have so many gadgets, so many things that makes us feel that I can talk to anyone, anywhere across the world. I can get information from wherever I want. For the result of all this is that we start, when we interact with human beings, then we start treating them also like machines. Like I'm in control. I can do what I want with the machine, with the computer, with everything. And suddenly when I'm dealing with another human being, with him also, I want to control him. Just like I'm pushing the remote, the TV is off, TV is on. So we try remote business with devotees also, or with human other people. And we see that it's not working. But whole day I'm with machines and I'm able to control. I'm in command. But then it's not happening with other people. So then that results in complete frustration. And then person becomes completely, he sulks, or he becomes a loner. That's why we see that nowadays people have friends, e-friends, electronic friends in Zambia or Kenya. Shyamananda Prabhu always says this, that people have friends in across the globe, but they won't talk to their next door neighbor. So this is the situation today, that people are in control, but of so many things, as they say, there is a saying that people love things and use people. Actually, we should be loving people and using things. But that is a deep-rooted obsession. So this is the first thing that happens. And that is, we become more and more controlled by these instruments, anger, frustration. And the second, aneka chitta vibranta, that is, we experience, vibranta means bewildering or kind of distress, a deep void we experience in the heart. A feeling of unfulfillment is very, very deep-rooted. Like Sankirtan Prabhu was making such a beautiful point the other day, how our possessions and positions, they haunt us like a ghost. And we are completely bewildered. Because if you analyze, what is the goal of anybody in this world? Why is anybody working? Why is anybody doing anything? You might say, I want money, but ultimately everybody is looking for happiness. And what is the basis of happiness? Can money give happiness? Or can this, can possessions, things which we are in control of, can these things give us happiness? So let us imagine there is a world war, God forbid, but some destruction, and let's say everything is destroyed. But nowadays they have the special bombs which can kill human beings and keep everything else intact. That much advancement science has made. So let us imagine something like that happens, disastrous. All the movie theaters are there, all the electronic gadgets, everything is there. All facilities for enjoyment are there, but human beings have been wiped off because of the power of this bomb. And only one person, that is I or you, let us assume that one person, me, we survive. And we have all the gadgets, everything with us. Can we be happy? At that time, if you go to the window and some bird comes and stands on our hand, that bird will give us so much happiness. Because there is some reciprocation we feel. So we see that basis of happiness is actually, ultimately, it is relationships or some reciprocation. That gives happiness. Therefore, the Vedic culture is so personal. Like even a farmer is plowing a field, he will have a bull. And, you know, the bull is also moody. Sometimes it will not work. So he has to pat the bull. He has to love the bull. Yeah. Nowadays, they have tractors. It's so mechanized that a person becomes insensitive, depersonalized. There is one Chinese guru, some big leader, many centuries ago, Kung Fu. This gentleman had a disciple, was a farmer. And one day he was carrying pots of water to put on his field. Every day he was carrying. So one passerby told him that, I see that you are struggling so much, every day you have to carry waters. Why don't you make some machinery kind of things by system which the water automatically goes? So he said, you get lost from here. I have a personal relationship with this farm. I experience reciprocation. So when I put water myself, I can feel that warmth, that reciprocation. Of course, this might seem a little far-fetched, but at our level we can understand that basically there is no substitute for doing away with possessions and actually having a healthy relationship. There is no substitute for that. That is the main point that we need to understand. So materialistic person is in control. He wants to be the controller and enjoyer, as Prabhupada is revealing in today's purport. And this makes him desensitized. Like, simple example. Initially in the Vedic culture, a person would never eat food alone. Before eating, you would call people from outside. If anybody is hungry, please come. Of course, this is impractical. But till few years ago, the culture was, we eat, we may cook food and we eat to our heart's content. And then food is left. What do? We go and share it with somebody. We give to neighbors or we say we have extra prasad. We always share. But nowadays, we have this system, refrigeration. This, of course, it's needed. I'm not denying it. But then a person gets an inherent feeling that, let me store. I'll eat tomorrow. Then day after. So that feeling of selfishness, that I-centered, is only increasing the way modern society is championing its causes. So a person feels insecure. He wants to always have things for himself. Like Mahatma Gandhi, one time he was going in a train. So And as he was boarding the train, his chappal fell off. One chappal fell off. So he sat in the train and he looked and he tried to get it, but the train was moving. And to the astonishment of all the passengers, he removed his other chappal and threw it away. Exactly at that spot where that other chappal was. So people asked me, why you did this? He said, see, now I have only one chappal. I have no use. And some poor man will get that and he'll also be frustrated. So better let him get something. So this kind of attitude sounds silly or foolish. Because we are so occupied, we are so obsessed with I. How I can be happy. I store up. I keep things. So therefore we can never be happy because this only enhances our tendency to be controller and enjoyer and the possessor. And therefore we need to understand that there is no substitute for relationships, and relationships is the basis of happiness. And Kali is so smart, Kali attacks this very principle of trying to break relationships or trying to make a person feel that he is the controller and he is great. Of course, this is what the materialistic people think. Now, we can address another question. What about devotees? As opposed to a materialist, how does a devotee deal in life? A devotee abandons the feeling that, as Prabhupada is imploring us today, we have to abandon this. A devotee abandons this feeling of being the controller and he takes complete shelter of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, Hare manechi ami, aneka yatana hoilo vipala, ekana bharasa tumi. I have tried so much and now I accept defeat, Krishna. I am fed up. Because this world is samsmriti ghoram. It's so complicated. It's so entangling. It causes so much frustration that now I have accepted defeat because aneka yatana, I have tried many things, but hoilo vipal. Now I am completely fed up. Now I have realized ekana bharasa tumi. You are my only shelter. You are my only hope. So this way, a devotee completely depends on the mercy of the Lord. Of course, a devotee plans. It's not that we are against planning. But he knows very well that Krishna has the final say. A devotee very well knows this is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Things will go wrong. Like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, this world is like a salt mine. If you go to a mine which is filled with coal and go wearing white dhoti, white kurta, white shawl, can we guarantee that we will come back without a spot of coal or black? We cannot. Similarly, if you go to a salt mine which is filled with salt, we go with the basket of sweets and we come back. Can we ensure that there will be no drop of salt in that? It's impossible. Similarly, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, this is a mine of misery. So we cannot say that I'll make things all right, I'll control and I'll make things perfect according to my plan. That's not going to happen according to the Shastras and according to the Acharyas. Therefore, Narad Muni, while instructing all of us through Vyasadeva, is saying, Taseva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate brahmatam uparyada. We should try to get that which is not obtainable in any of those 14 planetary systems. Talabhyate dukkavat anyata sukham. Because dukkha and sukha we will anyway get. Because kalena sarvatra ghabira ramasa. Kal is such a big force that all these things will come and go. Like nobody prays, let me fail in exam. But some students fail. Nobody prays that let there be a fire in my house. Or nobody prays that let my relative die. But these things do happen. So just like we do not pray for misery and we get misery. Similarly, Narad Muni says that we do not have to desire for happiness. We'll anyway get it on its own accord. Therefore, one has to understand that Krishna is the controller. And a devotee's consciousness can be understood with a simple example. Let's say there are two students. Both are in school. One is a devotee's child who has been trained that Krishna is in control, Krishna is in control. And the other boy is not a devotee's child and he's been trained from childhood, brainwashed, that I am in control, I will come first. And he's reading Competition Success Review and all these magazines and I can do it, I am the best. So both of them are in different classes or they are in different schools and they are studying hard in their school. Each one of them tries to come first. Now what will happen to the consciousness of both the children? The first student, because he's a devotee, he's always conscious that Krishna is in control and he studies hard to come first. And what happens when he comes first? Because he's been always thinking Krishna is in control, he becomes grateful. Oh, Krishna, you are so kind. And if he fails, oh, I tried my best. Because exam, result is not in our hand. There are so many factors. Only one factor is in our control. That is study. I can study. But so many factors are not in our control. To come first in exam, you cannot control other students from studying less than you. They might study more than you. Or we don't know whether the examiner might be in a bad mood or the number marks might enter, wrong marks might enter the computer. So we are not, only one factor is in our control. Most of the factors are not in our control. And if a devotee comes first, he feels very, very grateful. And if he fails, oh, Krishna is in control. On the other hand, a non-devotee student, he studies hard and he comes first. What does he think? I have done it. I am great. He continues to come first, continues to excel. I am great. I am great. But let us very honestly ask, is it that in whole life we will not fail anywhere? Somewhere we will face some failure. And at that time, what will happen? The student who has always been thinking, I am great, I am best. He will not be able to take this failure when it eventually comes. Because he's been thinking, I am the doer, I am the controller. He gets a nervous breakdown and he collapses. So it pays, even logically, to be in this consciousness that Krishna is in control. Because that makes us humble, grateful, and also detached. Both, we can go through both emotions if we keep harnessing this consciousness that Krishna is in control. Like I remember, one of my cousins, she got into IIM Ahmedabad just after BCom. And all the students there are big shots. They have done 5 years experience or 10 years in IDBI, RBI. And they used to treat her as like a child only because she was the youngest. And these people are very big men. And very interesting realization she had that all are toppers from their respective field. Somebody is an IIT topper, somebody is CA topper. And all of them come in this place where everybody is best. And there, each one of them gets a big pay packet, big job. But still, what happened? One of our colleagues in the class, he lost a job to some other student, other candidate, for some prestigious company. He couldn't take it because he had never failed. So quietly, he went to his room and he broke all the window panes and he smashed everything. And again, next day was normal, school, as if nothing had happened. But he couldn't keep his frustration. So this thing is very common when we are filled in this consciousness that I am in control. So basically we have discussed 2 points so far. First is how a person who thinks I am in control, what happens to him? He is filled with anxiety and stress and he gets more and more entangled. And then secondly, we discuss how a devotee is in proper consciousness. The third topic we'll try to briefly touch upon is that how to develop this desired consciousness that I am not in control, Krishna is in control. And he is the supreme controller. For the first step for this is developing or increasing our remembrance of Krishna. Generally we say, oh, I had this accident, I had a lot of purification, I was chastised or I fell down, I failed. We generally talk of purification. What is this purification? Purification is Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Yasmaret. For to the extent a devotee remembers Yasmaret Pundarikaksha Sabaya Bhayantara Shuchi. So to the extent a devotee remembers Krishna, he experiences purification. So if somebody meets with an accident, that's not considered purification completely unless a devotee is able to remember Krishna at that point of time. So therefore, this remembrance of Krishna is what helps us advance and transforms anything material into spiritual. That is spiritual consciousness. And a very good example for this, an inspiration that we can learn from, is a child in the womb of his mother. Bhagavatam describes how the child in the womb, he takes shelter of Krishna and expresses complete helplessness that I am not in control. Tasyopasannamavitum jagade chayatha nanatanor bhuvichalach charanaravindam soham vrajami sharanam yakuto bhayamme ಏನೇ ದೃಶಿ ಗತಿರದರ್ಶಿ ಅಸತೋ ನುರೂಪ. ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವುಂಬ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ತಸ್ಯೋ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನಂ ಅವಿತುಂ ಜಗದಿಚ್ಛಯಾತ. ಐ ಟೇಕ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್. ಯು ಕಮ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಓನ್ ಫ್ರೀ ವಿಲ್. ಜಗತ್ ಇಚ್ಛಾಯಾತ. ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಫೋರ್ಸ್. ಐ ಆಮ್ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವೂಮ್, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಕಮ್. ಯು ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಓನ್ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ ಫ್ರೀ ವಿಲ್. ಅಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ತ್ರೂ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಬಾಡೀಸ್, ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಸ್ಪೀಸೀಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್. ನಾನಾ ತನೋರ್ ಭುವಿ ಚಲಜ್, ಬಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್, ವಾಟ್ ಡು ಯು ಡು? ಭುವಿ ಚಲಜ್ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ, ಯು ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ ಅರ್ತ್, ಅಂಡ್ ನೌ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಎಂಟರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ ಅರ್ತ್ ಅಗೇನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಆನ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೆರ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕಮ್, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಕಮ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್. ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ದಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಟು ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್. Somebody might say, if you are remembering Krishna this way always, like the child is remembering in the womb, that Krishna, you are the greatest, you are the Supreme Lord. A question sometimes arises, Krishna is so merciful, then why I am suffering? Why I have to suffer so much? So the child immediately says, no. Suffering is there, I am suffering, but who is responsible for that? Ene drishi gatir adarshi asato nurupa. I am myself responsible, Krishna. It's none of your doing. It's not that because of you, I have been placed here and I'm suffering. Because of my sinful activities, now I'm suffering. I've completely lost control. Now I need your shelter. So what? This is the second point, or second quality that we can develop. First is remembrance of Krishna. But simply remembrance is not sufficient, because even Sahajiyas, they always talk about Krishna. Even Mayavadis might remember Krishna to become one. What actually is important, as we can see from this, the child in the womb, the prayers of this child is, one has to remember Krishna and at the same time remember our own fallen condition. How? One has to have a repentant heart. For in the next verse, the child is praying, Yastvatra baddha iva karma bhiravrutatma bhutendriya shayamayim avalambya mayam aste vishuddham avikarama kandabodham ಆತಪ್ಯಮಾನಹೃದಯ ವಸಿತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೂಮ್, ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕವರಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಮೈ ಬಿಗ್ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಕವರಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೈ ಓನ್ ಕರ್ಮ. ಎಸ್ ವಸ್ತ್ರ ಬದ್ಧ ಇವ ಕರ್ಮ ಬೀರ್ ಆವೃತ, ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಕವರ್ಡ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಭೂತೇಂದ್ರಿಯ ಶಯಮಯಿಂ ಅವಲಂಬ್ಯ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಥ್ರೋನ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಾಯಾ, ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಲ್ಯೂಷನ್. But you, who is also with me, you are Vishuddham. You are not contaminated like me. And you are Avikaram. You don't have to go through changes like I am going through. And you are Akhanda Bodham. You know everything that has happened with me in the past. And all the bad things that I have done, for which I am suffering now. You are aware of complete all these things. So now, how can I know you? What is the secret? So he says, Atapya mana hridaye vasitam namami. You are hridaye vasitam. You are residing in my heart, but I cannot know you unless I have atapyamana. Atapyamana means repentant. Unless I am very strongly repentant for all the wrongs that I have done, I cannot experience your presence in my life. So this is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada elaborates in great detail in the purport that how a living entity has to repent for having forgotten his constitutional position, because he wanted to become one with the Lord. And he wanted to lord over the material nature. So one has to be repentant for that. And because he's been baffled by all these endeavors, and now he can actually establish a relationship with the Lord. And be fixed in this consciousness that Krishna is in control and I am a servant. Like Satsarup Maharaj writes in one place, very nice statement, that our real sins are not all the college frivolities that we have engaged in, or the regulative principles that we have broken. Actually, they are not the actual sins. The actual sin is, we don't love Krishna and we have decided to enjoy independently from him. So because of that, all that happens is automatically happening because of this root desire to be away from Krishna. So one has to repent for this. And therefore a devotee realizes that I am not in control, and he has to constantly remember Krishna. Because we couldn't determine who our parents will be. We couldn't determine which school we'll get admission in. We were completely helpless as a child lying on the bed. and no control, even in the womb, no control. Krimibhirkshata sarvanga. All worms are biting us. Saukumarya, the body is very fragile in the womb. Murcham apnoti uruk kleshas tatratya kshujitair muhu. And constantly the child is falling unconscious because of bitten by worms in the womb and is suffering so much. So therefore, the child is teaching us how to pray to the Lord. So we had no control. We were completely helpless. And now after some years in devotional service, sometimes we might feel, oh, devotional service is so mechanical. It's not dynamic. Things are going on very mechanically. That's why Premnidhi Prabhu made a brilliant point a few days back. That how, if we simply remember all the sins that we have done, or all the anartha that we have in our heart, Krishna consciousness will never be static. It will be most dynamic. So therefore, this repentance helps a lot. Even Prabhupada writes in first canto purport that repentance is like a fire which burns all the dry grasses like anarthas and the sins that we have in our heart. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's a pure devotee and he's saying, Amito kamera das, vishaya vasana jagiche hriday phadiche karma fas. I'm a servant of lust and I've been completely bound by this. And all this vishaya vasana is arising in my heart and it has tied me like a noose, phadiche karma fas. And very interesting, in all the Acharya's prayers we'll see, they have, these two things are very common. These two things are very, they go parallel, they go together. One is complete repentance and condemnation of the self, which is immediately followed by glorification of Krishna and accepting Krishna's supreme position. Otherwise, if we are only thinking and repenting on our own fallen condition, we'll become a case of inferiority complex or frustrated false ego. Because I that is also another extreme of false ego. So therefore, we see, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amito murakah ati, kise balo hai, kabuna bujinu, tai yano mama gati. I am extremely foolish. What is good for me, I don't know. And that is why I am in such a miserable condition. But immediately he says, Gopina, tumi to pandita vara, but you are not murk like me. You are pandit. You are most intelligent. Tumi to pandita vara, mudera mangale tumi anveshibe edasena bhavapara. Because you are so intelligent and you are so loving, will you not rectify this fool who has fallen away from your devotional service? So like that, devotees make this kind of prayers and they develop these two, both these concepts parallelly, repentance and also remembrance of Krishna. So these are the two points, repentance and remembrance of Krishna. And what follows from these two approaches is very obviously the third one, which also we have to cultivate, and that is the mood of a servant. I am simply a servant. Now, for this we have a very good example of Mother Devahuti. She is simply serving her husband, Kardam Muni, and then he goes to the forest. And she serves with intimacy, Vishrambenatmena Gauravena, both intimacy and with seriousness. Just like it is said that a disciple also serves his guru or should serve his guru with great seriousness and intimacy in the mood of a servant. So because of Devahuti's sincere service, and then when Lord Kapiladeva instructs her, who is her son, then she offers some extraordinary prayers. And in that prayer, she reveals what happens when we have this consciousness of sincere service and when we develop a mood of servant. She says, Atapajonta salile shayanam bhutendriyartatmamayam vapuste gunapravaham sadashesha bijam dadyo swayam yaj jatarabja jata. She's saying, my dear Lord, what an amazing thing that you are lying on the causal ocean and from your navel Lord Brahma is born. And Lord Brahma, after he is born, he wants to know the source of his birth and is not able to find out. He searches. He cannot come to know. Then he does intense meditation and then he is able to get your darshan. So she says that even Lord Brahma cannot see you. You are unapproachable. And also guna pravaham sadashesha bijam, you are the seed of all existence, but you are not approachable. You cannot be known by even Lord Brahma. But what is the most amazing thing? Dadyo swayam ed jatarabdh jata. But still, you have taken residence in my womb and you are born from me. For the Supreme Lord, who is not approachable by anybody, takes shelter of his pure devotee. So she reveals how this amazing thing that how we discussed that how the child in the womb is also is child in the womb is completely controlled. But here we see by Devahuti's devotional service and sincere service, the Lord is controlled. In the sense, Lord appears in her womb, of course. We also know that Lord is transcendental. Lord is Vishuddham, Avikaram, Akhanda Bodham. He doesn't appear like the way a living entity appears. But it is very clear that by devotional service, a devotee who sincerely renders service conquers even the Supreme Lord. That is the point that is being emphasized. And this is Krishna's actual position, that he becomes subordinate to his servants. And then we see Kunti Devi also prays like this, that how Mother Yashoda is controlling you. Gopyadade Tvai Krita Gasidamatavad. And there also she expresses her fallen condition. She says, Katam Pashe Mahistri, I cannot know you. But at the same time, Krishna is controlled by his devotees. So we can see that materialistic person is naturally, or not naturally, it's unnatural, but is trying to control more. But the more he tries to control, the more and more entangled he gets. And the very object of control becomes a source of his destruction. Like we have the example of this gentleman who invented, who was a pioneer in anesthesia, Dr. Horst Wells. So he did a lot of research. He created his anesthesia, the benefits of chloroform, how it can help. But look at the way material energy is arranged, that this man got addicted to that same product which he created. And he started using it against so many people. And finally, he became so addicted to it that he was even imprisoned because of misuse. And he committed suicide by taking excess chloroform. So we see a person who controls nature, he gets more and more entangled. But as opposed to this exactly, we see a devotee, his consciousness or his approach is that he is completely focused on serving Krishna. And the result is Krishna becomes controlled by the devotee. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, O Lord, Hridaye Bhashiye Mora, you please reside in my heart. Because if you take control of me, Manake Shamiya Loho Nijapane Guchibe Vipada Gora, that's how I can get rid of this material existence. And that's why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say a very powerful point. He would say that if we simply become servant, we'll experience relief. Just like sometimes we carry a burden, huge burden in our head, like some bag when we are traveling in yatra or somewhere in the station. As soon as we keep that bag down, that burden down, we feel so much relief. So Bhaktivedanta Thakur writes that the moment we decide to become servant, we become relieved of the burning burden of being an enjoyer of this world. So being an enjoyer is a burden, and we are relieved of that when we become a servant. And therefore, we see that this child in the womb, he is suffering, he is completely controlled, and he is praying helplessly. But when we come out, what happens to us? We see everybody, we are the center of the attention. Everybody is, you know, cuddling us, giving us love, attention, and we feel I am very special. And then we go to school, and our mother has to feed us, and we are eating food. She'll tie our shoelaces, she'll help us put on the shirt. I have a small boy, small child, we'll run to school. So this is what is happening in the spiritual world. We are dressing Krishna. We are feeding Krishna. We are helping Krishna enjoy his pastimes more and more. But because of this culture we inherit in this material world of being the center of receiving service, so we find it repelling to be a servant, to be in the mood of a servant. Therefore, it's very, very important to understand. And how can we develop this consciousness of being a servant? That is by servant of Krishna can be developed when we serve devotees. We have a choice. Either we are Prakritim Mohinim Shrita or Devim Ashrita. Prakriti Mohinim Shrita means we are under the shelter of the material energy, or Devim Prakritim Ashrita or shelter of Krishna. One of the two we have to always be in, like a crab within the bank of the ocean. So we are marginal energy. Either we will be under Krishna's spiritual energy or Krishna's material energy. So when we seek shelter of devotees or Krishna, it is not that we are losing our freedom or losing our independence. In fact, shelter of devotees helps us realize our spiritual nature better. And also, it gives us a freedom from succumbing to the material energy. Therefore, it's very, very important that we can take shelter of devotees. Like, for example, if we are stuck in a quicksand, daldal, swampy area, what can we do? The more we try to fight, the more we'll go in. Faster we'll go in. So we need shelter of somebody who is on the bank, who is strong, stronger than us. If he's weak, we'll drag him down. But if somebody is stronger, he can pull us out. Similarly, in devotional service, a devotee takes shelter and he has his mood of serving devotees by which he can get out of his, by which it becomes very easy for him to get out of this daldal, of this quicksand. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Fiji in 1976, so Guru Kripa Swami and Tushta Krishna Maharaj chastised one man, Mr. Punja. He had organized a lot of programs for Prabhupada. And they said, don't you know, Prabhupada is so sick and is traveling so much. So and he was very upset. He was wondering, yeah, Prabhupada is sick, but I have arranged so many programs. What should I do? He was confused. So he went and told Harishori Prabhu that, what should I do? Harishori Prabhu said, I think you should ask Prabhupada personally. So he went and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I know you should take rest, but I have arranged so many programs. And so Prabhupada became very upset. He called both Guru Kripa Swami and Tushta Krishna Swami and said, why did you do this? Why did you chastise him and why did you cancel my programs? And then he insisted that the programs are kept. And after Mr. Punja walked away, he went out of the room. Prabhupada told both of them that I accept. I am facing a lot of inconvenience. Traveling is my biggest problem. And my body is giving away. But we have come here and we are the servants of the organizers here. So whatever program he arranges, I have to serve. I have to do those programs. So Prabhupada in this consciousness. And we can see this mood of service and relationships is so powerful. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, once in one brahmachari class a few years ago, he was saying that even logically it pays, materially also it pays to have a life centered around service. So he was saying, we are 50 brahmacharis here. So if each person cares for himself. Okay, I had my this, I'm done. How is my spiritual life? I'm fine. So only one person is caring for himself. And then he said, but if each person is serving the others and is more concerned about others, then there will be 49 people taking care of you rather than one person who is taking care of himself. So he was saying, logically it pays more to have a life centered around serving other devotees. So, to briefly conclude what we discussed today, we discussed first how when we have this mood of controller, then we become more and more entangled and we face two problems. We are filled with a lot of anxiety and suffering, and also we get more and more entangled. So as opposed to this, then the second option which the devotees follow is they take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is in control, and we studied from this example of the school boy who is a devotee. He is far more peaceful. Because once we are convinced Krishna is in control, when we are successful, we will be grateful. And when we fail, we will be humble and we will be detached. And then we discussed how to develop this consciousness of being a servant. And we discussed from the prayers offered by the child in the womb and prayers offered by Devahuti that one has to remember Krishna. One has to have consciousness of Krishna. And secondly, one has to also simultaneously repent for one's own fallen condition. And thirdly, one has to develop the mood of a servant. When a devotee sincerely serves, like Devahuti was serving Kardamuni, then Krishna is controlled by the devotee who is rendering devotional service. And therefore we can see that devotional service is so powerful that our process, Krishna consciousness is a process of, it's a path of grace. It's not a path of our own endeavor. Therefore we have to beg and cry for this grace, and through this we can make our lives perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for the nice class. You said repentance of the heart. So repentance generally is like focusing on the past. But we are also told that we have to be in the present. So how do we balance?
Yeah, that's why we have to, I said both things have to go simultaneously. One cannot be simply repenting for the past. That is to make us humble, you know. Like we might get a lot of glorification, a lot of appreciation. So we should know. When we remember our past, we know what we were. Radha Gopinath Prabhu always gives this story, very nice story about this boy who was picked up from the streets. He was a pauper, he was a beggar. And then he got a job as a small servant in a rich man's jewelry shop. But he sincerely served and he went on to become a most trusted man of this jeweler. But every day he would go to one particular cupboard and he would do something there. So the envious workers in that shop, they told the owner that this man is actually taking a lot of money and keeping it. So this man refused to believe. But this boy had come up so nicely and was so sincere. But because of pressure, he one day cornered him and saw the cupboard. And that cupboard had torn clothes, ragged clothes. So he said, "What is this?" He said, "Every day," this boy replied, "that every day I come and look at this to remember what I had been. What I was before I was picked up from this fallen condition." So when we remember our past, that helps us be humble. So it's good. But simultaneously, we should also remember Krishna and focus on our devotional service. Like that. It's not that we should be obsessed, "Oh, I did this. No. Somebody else can probably better comments. We can. Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Since it's late, if we already passed five minutes past 9, I was thinking, again, stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.